Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We were off last week for a bit of a summer break, but we are back as we count down to UFC 200, which is next week. It's hard to believe.
A week from Saturday.
It is a week from Saturday.
Well, it depends when you're listening.
Right.
If this is archived a couple years from now.
Into the future.
It happened a while ago.
back, you know,
before the floating toilets were invented.
Yes. It is it is a week from Saturday, as it will be the biggest card of the year. And what's interesting to me...
Of the year or ever?
Are you
buying into the ever?
I don't know, but...
I'm buying into the
okay,
ever.
Okay, fine. Then
give me a bigger card.
Than ever. Well, clearly when CM Punk fights for the title, as he said this week, he will. So that will be the biggest ever.
Right. Okay. Well, so far. Without CM Punk,
yes.
you give me a card that's bigger than this one.
But what's been very interesting is how, so last week when we were off, there's lots of Brock Lesnar news. And the week before that, lots of Brock Lesnar news. And this week it is like, Brock, be quiet for a second. And then it's all
DC. Do you think it's really Brock, be quiet for a second? Or I don't think that's coming from the UFC, because I don't know if you've noticed the mainstream commercials. We get these every once in a while. We always notice what's going on in the promotion because we're super fans. We pay attention to the media. We're targeted directly wherever we go on the web and those types of things. What you're starting to see now is general media buys. And you can kind of notice those when you do what you and I do, where you see that they've branched out the audience for this thing. They're trying to go elsewhere with the marketing. They're going to be on TV stations you don't necessarily
sure.
think of. They're going to be more on mainstream radio stations you don't necessarily think of for UFC, not just like sports stations. And if you've looked at all of that, it's kind of interesting because they lead with Brock. Everything leads with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar returns to the octagon. You don't hear even anything about Mark Hunt, and then you hear about three title fights, including Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier.
Well, but this is what I was saying from getting back to kind of where we are. The sweet spot of MMA where most of the conversation is going on, all you've heard this week is DC and Jones going back and forth and back and forth. And of course, two nights ago on Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network, there was a Mike Judge, Daniel Cormier, Jon Jones cartoon that was like, it feels as
I don't watch cartoons, Eric. I'm a grown-ass man.
I know that you're a grown-ass man who does not watch cartoons. I watch lots of cartoons, but I was still surprised at how it's just been them. The Them Show all day, every day.
Well, I mean, they were the ones selling this. I told you back.
I've never even heard of them.
When
actually,
Conor McGregor was coming out of this card, and I told everybody, I said, look, don't worry about this card. You've got DC and Jon Jones if everything works out Monday. And that was right after DC's last fight, or Jon Jones' last fight, excuse me.
Sure.
And it all did work out, and you had this fight. So, I mean, obviously Brock makes this one of the biggest cards ever. He was on one of the prior biggest cards ever. I don't care what you think about him. If he was good or bad in the cage, but he was there. So him on this card just puts it at another level. But this was going to be a huge card to begin with DC and Jon Jones going at it for round two. I really would have thought this would be a more interesting fight, seeing Jones right out of, I almost said prison. It just feels like he's been in prison, but he's not out of prison. He'd gone to jail a couple times.
Fighting OSP might be feel like prison.
Right,
though, really.
Exactly. But it would have been that would have been super interesting. I think Daniel Cormier, again, would have wiped the floor with that Jon Jones. I really do. I think his aggressiveness, I think the fact that he's been in there with Jon before, he knows Jon's strength. That's one thing you always hear about is people are surprised by how strong he is. Well, when you go in for a rematch, you don't get surprised by how strong he is. Thing is, Jon Jones has beaten guys so handily, most guys don't get a second shot at him.
No guy has ever rematched him.
So, I mean, that's one of the things about Jon Jones you hear every time. And I don't know how you hear it every time and are still surprised. You figure a couple coaches would text or something. They have Snapchat or anything.
Right.
They just send it over like, hey.
He's really strong.
Jon's really strong, bruh. That fits inside 7 seconds. I don't know why they don't send those. But every guy, oh, man, I knew they told me he was strong, but I didn't know he was that strong. That's not going to happen to Daniel Cormier. Can he deal with the strength is a question. It's going to be an interesting fight. I know most people are picking Jon Jones. That's where the line is at this point. I don't see anything different, though, than when We came out of that OSP fight where I thought this fight was much more interesting. And if I had to pick the fight that day, I'm probably going to pick DC. At this point, I'm still going to stay with DC because John Jones hasn't yet showed me that he's got what he had before he left the cage. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. UFC 200. We'll see a week from Saturday.
Well, and so what do you make of guys like Gustafson who are out there going, okay, well, I think I've got it dialed in on both of these guys at this point because I would like to rematch either one of them. Does, if Jones wins, do you think he's going to be more, because this is what has been talked this week, do you think he's going to be more dominant over Gustafson? Like, it won't be as close as it was? Like, which one of these
I don't know. We're going to have to see. I mean, if you just tell me he wins, I don't know how he won. I don't know what he looked like. Did he squeeze out a win against Daniel Cormier in 5 rounds? Did he look bad in some rounds? Does he look like maybe he's lost a little bit of a step being off for 18 months? I know he's back, but he was still had that giant gap in there where he wasn't fighting. And he was one of those dudes in the UFC that really thrived on fighting. I mean, he was a guy you could count on every 3 to 4 months. You know, 6 month windows at most, he was in there and he was defending his belt. And for a guy like John Jones, we talked about that when he had the legal problems. Does that change who he is as a fighter, especially as a guy who's getting older? You know, he's not 40 by any means. He's still in the prime of his career, but you're going to see adjustments to John Jones' style and to what happens to him as he ages. And all of that comes to a head, basically, and we see it against Daniel Cormier. Daniel's obviously the older fighter. He's the underdog, even though he's the champion in this situation. So there's a lot of interesting things at play. And, I mean, this is one of the most interesting fights that we've seen in a long time, probably for either of these fighters. Certainly for John Jones, I think.
For sure. And then even more interesting this week that John Jones is running around saying, look, Big John McCarthy, I do not want him reffing my fight. I want anybody but Big John.
What is the worry that he has with Big John?
Well, my understanding is he feels like Big John is too laid back, I guess, and not on top. I don't know.
Too laid back.
Like, not into the, like, on top of the action as much as he should be. I don't know.
Yeah, but I guess if you're the fighter that you think you're going to go out there and you're going to win the fight, why would you care? The only fighter that should be concerned about whether or not the ref is close on the, and again, I think all refs should be in on the action and be able to stop the fight and do those type of things. Like, at no point has Daniel Cormier ever been really considered a dirty fighter, from my understanding. So you don't have that to worry about. If you're going to be a fighter that's worried about a dirty fighter in this fight, you're Daniel Cormier, worrying about getting thumbed in the eye.
And this is what John says. I really don't want to get into it too deeply. I'll just say, based on some of the interactions I've had with him, I don't really feel as if, I just feel it's something that the energy isn't necessarily the best there. And to him, it's just refereeing a fight. He does it probably sometimes once a week somewhere. And for me, this is my life. This is my story. This is my legacy. It's everything to me. And if I don't agree with his energy that he brings to the fight, if I were him, I wouldn't want to be a part of
it. I'm bored already. Jesus.
I'm still.
What is he talking about?
I don't know.
Does he want incense outside the cage?
Yes. That's what he would like.
Shut up.
He wants,
oh my God.
He wants Big John to take a 5-hour energy, and then that's where we're going.
Whatever. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Daniel Cormier okay with this?
Daniel Cormier doesn't care. A fight is a fight.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the Ken Evans. It's a fight is a fight, right?
Well, right. And unless you're worried about losing, you don't care if the ref's on top of the action. Because you're just going to beat the other guy senseless, right? You're gonna spit in his face and kill him, right, John Jones? And now you're worried about the referee not having a monster before he gets in the cage? I'm sorry, Zions.
No, they hate Zions.
They hate Zions?
It is monster.
They do like monster.
It's monster now. You're right.
I can't keep up. Now I know how the fighters feel. What does John Jones even care about the ref? I mean, I get when Dana White complains about it because sometimes you feel like a ref is not really putting your product in the best light. Maybe he's letting fighters up when they shouldn't be, or something insane happens and you don't like that guy. Big John's never really been a guy that's been accused of much of that stuff. In fact, there was the longest time where people wanted him back in the UFC and said, wait a minute, he's reffing again. You shouldn't have any control over this. He's one of the most tenured referees in the game. I mean, I've heard a lot of more people pissed about Herb Dean. And not a lot of people are actually that upset at Herb Dean usually.
Right.
So, I mean, that's I didn't make my point as clearly as I wanted to there, but
there's more complaints about Herb
right.
Dean, but in most cases, he's not wrong.
Right. I mean, if you don't have a ton of complaints about a guy, I don't understand this whole thing. It seemed like some weird manufactured controversy, and there was no real reason.
Well, no, he just doesn't like the energy, man.
The energy?
Like, we just got to get the right energy in the cage.
Like, what?
I mean, like, I really feel like doing a couple lines of cocaine and drinking.
So, wait, he did mention in some... Well, Daniel Cormier said that he was worried about the stopping of the fight too. So I don't know. I don't know. Just, well, but, God, but I'm like, not that what, worried. Why are we talking about the look at all the fights on this card? We're talking about the damn referee.
Well, and what's interesting is, like, let's think about this. At no point in the first fight were either guy close to finishing the other one.
Right.
Like the I don't know. I didn't see a whole bunch of, like, Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold-esque moments where you're like, you should stop this fight. This fight should probably be stopped. We should probably stop this fight. Hey, why aren't you stopping this fight? Oh, you shouldn't stop this fight.
I disagree with that characterization, and I did after the fight.
No. I'm not starting another argument with you about our differences on this
fight.
I'm just saying
you're wrong.
I know that I'm wrong, and this is our relationship. But what I'm saying is, in their first fight, there wasn't any of that.
No, I mean, if anything, Cormier should be happy because, I mean, Big John's going to tell you not to poke another dude in the eye.
And that's probably what he's talking about, is Big John won't let me cheat the whole fight.
So is that what he's mad about? He's like, he doesn't understand my angles, the angle of my finger in his eyes.
He doesn't understand how I can poke their orbital with my middle finger.
Was that a tweet from John Jones you read?
That I deleted?
That he deleted? Tweet and delete?
All right, before we get into the rest of the show, I wanted to, of course, talk about what happened to Ryan Jimmo on Sunday night. He was in a hit-and-run accident and was killed outside an Edmonton sports bar at 34 years old. UFC veteran, obviously the industry, is once again shocked by this. This is twice this year, two different hit-and-runs on MMA fighters. I don't think that there's any connection, but still tough to deal with because they're both taken too soon. They have arrested two people in connection with this. The Edmonton police have guys in custody as of last night, and we will keep you posted on that. But when these things happen, I don't really know the best way to handle them other than to say that it's just a terrible loss for the sport, and obviously a terrible loss for his family, and 34 is just far too young.
Yeah, this is a sad situation. Apparently those guys, too, they're going to be charged with second-degree murder the way things are laying out there. So, you know, obviously you want some justice there, but just a tragic situation.
Yeah, so with that, we will keep you up to date on what happens with the case going forward, but just want to say our thoughts and prayers go out to the Jimmo family and all the fans who loved his fights and his ability to dance like an amazing robot.
Well, and here's the thing, and you know, I'm certainly not laying blame anywhere, and if you want to do something when these type of things happen and talk about something, you just don't know the mindset of other people. This is a UFC fighter. This is somebody who could take anybody in the bar, so to speak, and you know, the story we're hearing is that he got into an argument with a couple dudes, and you don't know who these dudes are. You don't know their motivations. You don't know what they're willing to do. Well, what it looks like they might have been willing to do was run a man over and kill him. And that's something to think about whenever you're out in a situation and whenever you're dealing with people that may have been drinking or you may be in an argument. You know, the smartest fighters say the best fight is no fight.
Sure.
And you have to really keep that in mind. And what's going to get you back home to your family? That's the thing you take away from these situations. Again, I'm not laying blame at Ryan Jimmo. But in a situation where you're outside of a bar and you're arguing with a couple guys, really think about, is that worth it? Is whatever you're arguing about worth it at that moment, and what could possibly happen? Again, no blame on Ryan Jimmo, but that's your takeaway if you want to have a takeaway.
Yeah,
in these
instances. We live in crazy times, and we, you know, it's unfortunate we have to think like that. But
all times are crazy.
Yes, all times are crazy. All right, let's segue back into some talks about how everyone on Earth wants to fight Michael Bisping. Who knew, right? He beats Luke Rockhold, takes
except Ronda Rousey, I think.
Yeah, well, she's not ready to fight anybody.
She's not going
to
fight anybody.
She wants to fight Johanna Jędrzejczyk at 212 pounds. She wants Johanna to put 100 pounds on.
That might be a thing.
Meet her at 212.
That might be a thing.
Okay, so let's recap, right? Michael Bisping wins the belt coming off of a Vin Diesel movie. I will say that forever. Mm-hmm. Walks off a set, beats Luke Rockhold, takes his belt. There was very little talk, if any, of a rematch. Instead, we got all of these other talks, and it felt really close over the weekend, Ken, to your dream matchup. It felt really close to Bisping Hendo 2. That felt like a thing. Dan Henderson last week was saying that, like, he wanted that to be his retirement fight. He thought that would be just poetic justice to fight Bisping a second time and maybe win the middleweight belt, which of course leaves Jacare out in the cold. So Jacare getting angrier and angrier. And then this past week, GSP tweeted that he and Bisping were in conversation about making that fight, to which Jacare said, look, I don't want to sit out. I'll fight GSP and I'll break his neck at 185 pounds. So let's get this on. Meanwhile, BJ Penn, who's coming off of his suspension in September of his his self-imposed IV ban because he told them that he was on an IV on his own. He said, hey, look, GSP, if you're not busy, I'll fight you. So we have this.
So wait, we got everybody calling out GSP.
Everybody's
now.
Calling everybody out. Like, okay. Everybody wants to fight Michael Bisping. And if you can't fight Michael Bisping, guess what? GSP is available.
Where's Vitor Belfort in all this? I mean, I don't think he should be. But usually,
who cares?
Usually in these situations, it's exactly where Vitor Belfort's yelling at everybody for no reason.
Yeah, but when you look at this, like, I think Vitor Belfort looks and goes, okay, I don't want to fight Dan Henderson. I certainly don't want to fight Jacare again. I don't know that I want to fight Luke Rockhold again, and I'm not really sure that Bisping is as easy a fight as everyone makes it seem to be, because, you know, if you look at the losses, and this was the thing coming out of that fight, if you look at the losses that Michael Bisping had, what did you say almost 80% of them were TRT fighters?
Oh, yeah, we went through the numbers. You know, I don't have them in front of me, but there were a lot of those dudes.
It was a lot.
And it wasn't even necessarily illegal.
No. What I'm saying is that they were legally juiced to the gills fighting a guy who is not juiced to the gills, and they, you know, those are the losses that he has on his record.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think from an aging Vitor Belfort, who is what they call in the industry the post-TRT Vitor Belfort, who's had some good
bumps.
Nights and had some not-so-good nights, I don't know that Bisping...
Not like the bumps on his back he had before.
Correct. Bumps. You know, I don't know that Michael Bisping is as easy a fight as...
I don't think he's an easy fight at all.
But you're hearing that, right?
Like, this is the same thing, to a lesser extent.
Weidman saying, like, I would love to fight Bisping. This will be the easiest way for me to get my belt back. Like, those sorts of things.
And you know what? Fine. Weidman says that. Cool. You were the champ and you want to get your belt back. You talk all the trash you want. It does seem a little weird that everybody's kind of jumping in. I think the Hendo fight would be a fun fight. I want to see the Jacare fight. I think that's the fight that should happen. I wouldn't mind a Weidman fight.
You would want that one first.
Everybody, Jacare, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I want Jacare at this point. I don't mind.
Even though you love the Hendo fight.
I do like the Hendo fight. I mean, the problem with the Hendo fight is, God forbid, he actually knocked Bisping out. And then we've got the title
retires.
On Dan Henderson. Or maybe he retires.
Well, no, that's what he said.
He would retire with the belt.
This is the fight. I want this fight. This will be my last fight. I'll walk away. I promise you.
So he retires with the belt, and we got to do a tournament anyways.
Pinky swear.
So how many interim, like, tournament title belts do we have?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because then we have a weird thing where we won't have a linear champion, and we're going to destroy some of the credit.
Luster, if you will?
The credibility of whatever fighter ends up being the champion. I mean, Daniel Cormier is fighting that right now. I mean, you know, everybody's screaming on one side of the room, he's not the real champ, he's not the real champ. And you would have that tenfold if you had Dan Henderson come in, knock out Michael Bisping, and then nobody who wins that title is going to be legitimate in the fans' eyes for a long time. It's going to take 2, 3, 4 fights
rather than
just beating the champ, taking the belt, and moving along with your life and your career and doing what you do.
And I think that
costs the UFC money. Don't forget, look at it like that. That will cost the UFC money. Not as many people are going to pay to see what they view as an interim champ. They're not going to do it. So the UFC would have to look at a lot of dynamics if they wanted to put Dan Henderson in there.
So Jacare, then.
A Jacare.
Okay.
I don't mind the Hendo fight.
What do you make?
From a fan perspective, but it does open up a can of worms if he were to win.
He can fight GSP.
I don't mind the Rockhold fight.
What do we do with GSP, though?
GSP has to say he wants to fight. He doesn't. He's not actually said he wanted to take a fight. Like, he's basically hemming and hawing around it.
I can't do your accent, but he said he's ready to fight.
I am ready to fight. I'm here.
So
he's not that French.
He's French enough.
I want you in the octagon.
Yes. So you've got that RDA says he wants to fight. I don't even know what happened.
RDA
says he wants to fight George St. Pierre.
Good for him, because we keep forgetting he's got a title fight that next week. I do. I keep forgetting. I got an email from UFC. I'm like, what is this? Isn't this 200? What's going on? What are they trying to get me to watch? Poor RDA was so close with that Conor McGregor fight.
He was
making a lot of money.
He was.
It's cool. Fight Pass is cool, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think they're doing a lot of interesting stuff. Some of the stuff is blowing up in their face. You know, we took a week off, so we didn't get a chance to talk about that Fedor fight.
That didn't blow up in their face, though. They loved that. They said they had more views on Fight Pass for that, and that might actually get him signed to the UFC.
Which is, he looked so bad.
I'm not saying he didn't look bad,
so
but you've
terrible.
Got an interest level there.
So terrible.
He looked really bad.
Because they finally did what you asked them to do. They used the app and the notifications in the way that you should have. They notified me when it was starting, then they notified me the second the Spider-Woman was done singing Christina Aguilera. and that
what? What did I miss?
There was a giant woman dressed as a spider descending from the ceiling, singing Christina Aguilera's Fighter. That was a real thing.
Oh, okay.
Once that was over, I got
better than the Moulin Rouge song, though.
Once that was over, I got a notification saying that they were fighting, which was helpful, so I didn't have to watch the rest of EFN with all the people that I didn't care to watch.
I do want
to
see GSP come in if the Moulin Rouge song is sung as his entrance.
Okay, terrific.
It's French.
Okay, so let's take this. They did.
Jesus. Jokes are funnier when you explain them.
Yes. Let's take this in order. So, GSP, do you think this is a thing, or do you think he's...
I don't know what he's looking,
what do you think he's looking for, then?
So, wait, he's calling out Bisbing, right?
He said that they spoke, probably because he feels like
he's
that's...
He's talking to everybody, then. Is he coming back or not?
I'm asking you.
Is he under contract?
I don't know. Hang on.
That's what I'm saying. Until we hear all of that, they're going to sell the company before they get to this GSP contract.
They're not selling the company.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. So RDA wants to fight you. Sure. Let's do that. Okay. Sure. Can we do that? Just book it for after next week?
Let's just book
it. Can we swap out? Who's RDA fighting next week?
He's fighting Eddie Alvarez.
Eddie Alvarez. Sorry, Eddie. We're going to swap you out for GSP. Then somebody will watch Fight Pass. I love Eddie Alvarez.
Sure. I'm sure he feels that.
Not late on a Thursday, though. So, yeah, RDA GSP, make it happen next week.
Yes, let's totally.
You asked me what I wanted.
I did ask you.
I don't know why you ask these questions when you don't want the answers.
Clearly a mistake on my part.
So, RDA GSP next week. Good. So, is he back in the title hunt then, if he fights RDA? Or do you he's not coming back to do that. He's coming back to fight Silva or do a super fight of some sort, right?
Can he even get back down to 155?
I don't know. Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, what are we doing, Super Fight RDA or Championship RDA?
I think it's Championship RDA.
Oh, well, I don't care. I don't think he can make 155. You're right. I wasn't thinking. I keep forgetting where RDA is because I forget about RDA sometimes.
Which is, like, the problem, and to your point, like, why you needed that Conor fight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I would have loved to have seen that Conor fight. Welcomes GSP fight at 155 is what RDA is saying.
Yeah, because that'll happen, right?
So, yeah, I don't know.
And then that was where, to set some context for you, if you weren't paying attention this week, that was where BJ Penn jumped in and said, hey, if you're not busy at 155, I'll fight you anywhere.
Like everybody, yeah, once people start throwing the weight classes around, like, I can do that weight class. I want to do that weight class. What about Nate Diaz, GSP, after he whoops Connor again? What?
So
his star is going to be so bright.
His star is going to be so bright. But here, I've got some questions about that, which is why I waited. I was going to do them on our Facebook page, on Facebook Live, but I wanted to wait because I wanted to get your reaction because I'm having this interesting thought. So we talk a lot about this sport and the motivating factor of hunger and the motivating factor of having a great mental game. And so my question to you is, do you think, and based on your answer a second ago, I'm going to say no, but like I'm having second thoughts about this Nate Diaz McGregor fight, and this is what I mean. What if, you know, when the way that Connor's talking right now, you know, what if he did actually figure it out? Like, what if he's figured this fight out?
Like, well he said he underestimated him. He said he didn't realize his efficiency of power. He went in there and didn't realize what he was dealing with. You're alluding to the fact that now he says he underestimated him. He knows what he's getting into now, and it's not even going to be a contest.
Yes, and so I don't know that it's not going to be a contest, but when you talk about his star so bright, right, Nate Diaz made more money on that single night that he'd made in his entire career.
And he's going to make more
next time. Regardless of what happens.
Yes.
And so I wonder about the Diaz motivation to beat Conor McGregor versus the Diaz motivation to just get paid.
I think the Diaz motivation to get paid is the overriding motivation there, and I think it's always served them well enough. So I don't see the motivation being much different. I don't think there was a lot of motivation to beat Conor McGregor in the first place outside of what you'd normally see. He was going there to cash his check and get his money and beat that guy's ass, all in that order.
For sure.
And those are all real high up. That's not to say he doesn't want to win a fight, but that's going to be his attitude into any fight. I don't see, if you want to talk about mental games and whether somebody's up or down for a fight or ready or not for a fight, Nate Diaz is one of those dudes. He's always in the same spot. And whether or not he goes in and wins, whether or not he goes in and loses, whatever happens, he's in that same spot, and he's ready to do it again next time. Now, the one caveat there would be kind of interesting in this fight is right after he beat Conor McGregor, and I think we were in the post-fight presser, maybe it was one of the scrums, Dana White said, I haven't seen Nate. I may never see him again. He may have taken all his money and just left forever.
Yes.
So he might be just cashing in this one more fight and leaving forever.
And that's kind of my, you know, when you, and it might be.
But
because,
he might do that if he wins. Like, well, he's not out there to, like, keep winning. Like, he'll take his check and, like, cool. I beat that guy's ass twice and I cashed in for $5 million. I'll see you all later. 209.
I might be fanboying out. I might be buying into the hype, but it feels like there's still something different about Conor McGregor in the way in which he can approach a fight. And when we think about some of the greatest fighters in history, not a one, save for Floyd Mayweather, and you can talk about that however you would like to, but when you talk about Ali or you talk about Tyson or you talk about whomever, not one of them ended their career undefeated. Right.
No.
They all had to learn something.
Well, and one of the interesting things, too, depending on, you know, which guy you're talking about.
And even Floyd lost in the Olympics, right? Like, he's not undefeated. He's undefeated professionally, but not undefeated.
Well, one of the things that you really look at, too, and one of the reasons Floyd Mayweather had such a hard road to finally being that star he was. I mean, guys 49-0 really didn't start making that star power money until what?
39, right? 38?
Farther in than that, I'd guess, really. If you really want to look at those fights and think about when we were actually all paying attention, you know, I feel like it took a long time.
Maybe or whatever.
I feel like, it took a really long time. And something that has to do with that sometimes is the fact that some of the best stories are fighters that are losing and coming back. I mean, that was Muhammad Ali's story. That's the story that we all remembered a couple weeks back when Muhammad Ali passed is, oh, man, do you remember him in Zaire? Do you remember that? That was insane. Nobody thought he was going to win. Nobody thought he was going to beat George Foreman. He wasn't the same fighter. He had sat out. He had come back. He hadn't looked good. He had lost his title. It wasn't going to happen. And that was his comeback. And, you know, that's why Muhammad Ali is the legend that he was, is because of what he did more in 1975, I think it was, than even what he did in his heyday when he was the best fighter on the planet, undoubtedly. So you have those instances where if Conor comes back from that loss, looks better than ever, you know, I don't say this plays out better than if he were undefeated, quote unquote, in the UFC at this point. But I think it would play very well into his marketing potential in the future, which everybody always seems to be worried about every time we talk about Conor McGregor.
Well, I think what you're worried about and what I was talking about is, like, if this guy ends up fighting Floyd Mayweather and gets beat by Floyd Mayweather, then came back and got beat by Nate Diaz, you lose a lot of the luster.
Yeah, but he's going to fight Nate first, and then if he beats Nate, he gets to fight Floyd,
yes,
right?
Clearly.
Isn't that what the new buyers are going to set up?
Yes, that's exactly. But if that happened in that order, that would have not been good for him is all I was saying. Not that you need to be undefeated in the UFC. There are plenty. I mean, for the love of God, the middleweight champion just fought in one of the best MMA stories probably in the last decade. Right. The Michael Bisping story is probably the best thing you've.
Oh, it's one. For anybody who's followed it as long as we have, basically since those Ultimate Fighter days, I think, long term story, like really always getting close to that ring, never quite getting there. And then doing it off of, you know, 2 weeks notice off the Vin Diesel movie.
Right.
What movie is that? Do you know what movie it is?
I don't know. But my point being, like, to your credit, these are the stories that you remember, right? This story about Michael Bisping is such an much more interesting story than undefeated. Let's say Michael Bisping was undefeated and they called him from a Vin Diesel movie and he shellacked Luke Rockhold. That's not interesting.
Right.
Not interesting at all.
Well, look how much more interesting John Jones is now. And it wasn't necessarily a loss. It was basically he screwed up. So he has to come back from that. That's what's made him much more interesting at this point. Not that he wasn't one of the best and most dynamic fighters on the planet. I mean, there's a lot of contrast there if you want to use him and Floyd, where he's a lot of fun to watch. And Floyd, depending on who you are or what your vested interest is monetarily in him, is kind of a tough watch sometimes. Yeah. So, you know, if he's not helping to pay your rent.
Polite way to say it. Yeah.
Exactly. So And, you know, we've seen some fun fights with Floyd Mayweather, but you always knew you were getting the best of the best with John Jones. So there's obviously that difference there. But you can't tell me that this John Jones fight isn't the most interesting John Jones fight you've seen in a long, long time. And that had to do with the fact that he has to come back from what happened to him. Whether it was self-imposed or not, he has to do it. He has to come back from being out of the cage so long. He has to come back from what was probably his worst performance ever in the cage against OSP. He has to come back from all of that and come get his belt back from the guy that took it while he was gone. That's a more dynamic, more interesting story, and something that is really driving this pay-per-view.
So, yes.
Because we've got two other title fights, right?
We do, yes.
One's the Miesha Tate fight.
We have you technically that weekend, you have what, five title fights?
So the night of.
The night of, you have Miesha Tate, Amanda Nunes.
Right.
You have John Jones and DC.
Right. And then you've got the interim belt, right? Or is that not going to be interim anymore?
Which one?
For 145, right?
Yes. No, yeah, you do have the interim belt between Jose Aldo and...
so many belts.
Yes, and Frankie Edgar. So you've got those three. Then you've got Johanna Jędrzejczyk on Friday night against Claudia
Gadelha. Is that FS1?
I believe yes.
And then, forget what's happening
and then
fight week.
The night before...
Is that Fight Pass?
You have your boy on Fight Pass is the night before. That's RDA.
RDA.
And Eddie Alvarez. So you've got five.
So, yeah. And there's two things we're really talking about. That's interesting.
Yeah.
To kind of lay all that out. And what are the two things? Brock Lesnar's one of them. And not even his opponent that much, which is interesting.
No, not really.
Considering how legit... I mean, honestly, I'm a Brock fan. I thought he did a lot in his short time there. And I don't think he ever got the credit he deserved from some of the quote-unquote hardcore fight fans. So, from that perspective, if you would have told me, hey, Ken, he's going to be at UFC 200. I would have said, okay, I can buy that. I would have probably said, it'll be interesting to see whichever rando heavyweight they grab and throw in there with
him.
Because they're not going to bring Brock in, and there's no need to. The guy's not in the title hunt. You're going to bring Brock in to bring Brock in.
Sure.
And maybe to bring him in like at the end of the year and really kind of make this deal work with WWE. The fact that he's in there with Mark Hunt, I think, is amazing and is really an interesting fight at this point. And... you know, makes it hard to pick against Mark Hunt, but, you know, Brock is Brock. And, you know, I know Chal's been talking a lot this week about wrestling and Brock's not as good as he thought. And I love Chal as well. Chal talks the talk.
Sure he does. Well, I think this...
What was Brock's record? He won 125
right.
D1 matches.
And I think this dovetails nicely in what I want to end with this week. And know that next week, we're finally going to get Josh Gross on because I want to talk about the Ali Inoki book that he wrote because it's amazing. We'll obviously talk about UFC 200 next week. We will have Sage Northcutt on next week to talk about his fight with Enrique Martin. And
does the jumps, right?
We do, and we'll talk about his Reebok deal and all that stuff. What I want to end with is... this insane story that Phil Brooks is crafting. He's finally got his debut.
Are you one of those dudes, Phil Brooks?
Well, I don't know who I'm talking to, right? So Phil Brooks, CM Punk, whatever you want to call him, right? At UFC 203, CM Punk's going to finally face Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall is the guy from Looking for a Fight who was supposed to fight CM Punk, had to win his first fight in the UFC, which he did, and so now he's fighting. So he was on Colin Cowherd on Tuesday because they've now formulated that deal with Fox, so they're rolling these guys through a little bit quicker, in my mind, Ken, than they have been. Like, there hasn't been as many MMA fighters on Colin Cowherd's show in the last 5 years than there has been in the last 4 months.
Yeah, because he works there now, and...
Right.
Because he was at ESPN before.
1,000%. But, I mean, even Fox Radio wasn't doing as much of this as they are doing right now. So, long story short, Tuesday, CM Punk shows up and says that in two or three fights, I'm going to be... What's wrong with me fighting for the title?
Two or three fights.
Two or three fights.
He wins. Yeah, why not? What is wrong with him fighting for the title after two or three fights?
Are you... Do we
two
remember,
to three fights.
You've been waiting for a year for him to be healthy enough to do this one fight.
He said, what's wrong with after two or three fights fighting for the title?
Because there's a 0% chance he's going to win one fight.
Okay, well, then you don't have to worry about what he said.
0%.
Why?
I do have to worry about what he said because it's ridiculous.
If he wins two or three fights, what's he at? What's he fighting at?
What is he fighting at? Hang on.
He's fighting at 155, sure. Then we might see RDA and on an event that we're watching. I don't know what he's going to fight at. Is he at 170 or 155?
Hang on.
I thought he was at 170.
Let me...
So you kind of have to look at the title holders. I don't have a problem with two or three fights, probably three or four, realistically. Guy's 37. He's not going to be fighting that long. Well, but he's going to make them a lot of money.
Weight, as they have him listed on UFC.com, is 185.
I don't think he's fighting that heavy, is he?
Hang on. Let me look up what your boy...
Because sure, throw him in there with Bisbing. Let's get everybody in there against Bisbing, right?
So it's got to be 170. Mickey Gall's at 170.
Okay.
So let's call it 170.
170. So we've got... who's champ right now? 170.
At 170 is Robbie Lawler.
Robbie Lawler. That's right.
So yeah,
he's a tough dude.
That's going to be a great fight.
He's
I can really see a competitive fight between CM Punk and Robbie Lawler.
You're getting your wallet out right now if I tell you that fight's happening before CM Punk even fights.
Because
you just want to see the annihilation. Are you signing into your Apple Pay account? Because that's better be what you're signing into.
I'm signing into PayPal so I can just send you the money directly. Hang on a second. I want to run through this. Mickey Gall, who's unranked, right?
Yes, he's unranked.
Right. So
I agree.
I'm pulling up. Well, you're totally being ridiculous right now.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about?
Being totally ridiculous. All right.
What are you looking
at? Let's go to our friends at welterweight. Mickey Gall is unranked, mm-hmm. which means he's got to beat Mickey Gall. And then two or three of these next human beings, Thiago Alves, Donald Cerrone, Safadine, Gastelum, Gunnar Nelson, Dongyoung Kim, Rick Story, Matt Brown, Neil Magny, Hendricks, Condit, Maya, Woodley, McDonald, and Thompson.
Okay.
Oh, and then Lawler. Tell me the two or three of those he's going to breeze right past before he gets to Robbie Lawler.
But won't it be impressive?
Tell me the two or three he's going to breeze right past.
I don't know, but I'm telling you
that.
The
guy who gets hurt tying his own gi. Tell me the two or three guys.
But you see, you're agreeing with me. If he gets through those guys, then he deserves that title shot. Again, he said two or three fights. He didn't say after I beat Mickey Gall, I would love a title shot.
Uh-huh.
He said two or three fights. And those are some tough fights, it sounds like, that you just listed. At the end of the day, CM Punk wins because that's AJ Lee.
Fair enough, but that's not what he's fighting for.
I just wanted to end the show.
Okay, fair enough.
On a picture of AJ Lee.
I'm just
in a plaid skirt.
I want to end the show telling you, my fine warrior friends on Way of the Warrior, that Ken is really distracting me with AJ Lee and that there is a 0% chance that CM Punk is fighting for the title. I'm going all in on that.
Is she showing up wearing that?
Probably.
When he fights?
Is she going to be in his corner?
She should be.
She should be, for sure. All right, as always, this weekend, if anything breaks before UFC 200, you can get at us at Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.